Sometimes it's good to not follow the program, and today we're not going to completely. Don't get too comfortable, though. I thought I would make some announcements first, and then we would receive our abundant sharing before, of course, then getting into the teaching of God's Word. Few things coming up. One thing that's not coming up is, no, for you who come to the leaders' meetings, we're not doing one tomorrow night. Our standard is to do them on the first and third Mondays of the month. Often we have to veer from that standard, and December is one of those months. We're only meeting once in December, okay, and that is on the 11th of December. I want to remind you there's a music night coming up. That means everyone should come prepared to be entertained. It would be sort of a boring night if everyone just comes prepared to be entertained, right? It's a night where we bless each other, okay? And so that's why we've got sign-up sheets in the lobby there for any of you who would like to sing a song, read a poem, whatever you'd like to do to bless the believers. When people have their hearts into something like this, it's so much more refreshing and so much more enjoyable than going to some place where somebody's getting paid to make you happy. It's believers taking care of believers, blessing each other, lifting each other's burdens. Of course, that can only happen if some of us are willing to get up there and run the risk of embarrassing ourselves by singing that song that I just wrote when my life was changed by God's Word. So I really encourage you. Oftentimes we'll have... There have been times where I think the same hymn has been sung by three different people. That's okay. But I'd prefer to hear the song that you wrote about your life and your heart when your life was transformed by the Word of God, if you got one of those. If you don't, maybe you could write one of those. But regardless, we take care of each other. We bless each other. It's always a wonderful time. So I encourage you to think about that, pray about that, plan towards that, and certainly show up to listen to good stuff, but also consider being a part of what we do. And where's Ken? I don't think we've rejected anybody yet, have we? That's a joke. No. So in other words, there's no, what do you call it?
There's no talent.
Yeah, exactly. And wherever you think you fit on the scale, you qualify. Okay? No auditions necessary. And we'll bless each other on that night. Also, you know, there's a Women's Weekend coming up. The theme is Freedom in Christ. And the registration forms for that are available in the lobby. I want to remind you the deadline is the 7th of January, which seems a long ways away from now. But as we get into the holidays, I'm sure some of you, most of you will recall, once we get into that holiday slide, pretty soon it's the 6th of January already? So I want to remind you that it's closer than you think, okay? And those are always great times, so you can sign up if you qualify, which means if you're a woman, you can sign up for that Women's Weekend. And there are further details on those registration forms if you want to pick one up. Finally, our brother Brian Wolf has an announcement for us. This one's a long time coming, and he's the right man to make it. So, Brian, come on up. Yay!
Thank you, guys. You guys have probably noticed there's a white rope that's been across those back stairs for a very, very long time. Well, I am very excited to say that today it is coming down. Yeah. I don't know, maybe some of you have been like me praying for this for the last, 15 years or so, ever since this upper level was opened. And so it's just very exciting. And I'm thankful to God for how He continues to supply for us. And I'm very excited for what this is going to be able to do. You know, this building is a tool, right? And if something happens and it's not right for us anymore, then we'll go and do something else. But this is what God has provided for us right now, and it's so exciting to see how He continues to provide. And so what does that mean? Children's Fellowship is not going to be moving down there quite yet. We're looking at the first of the year when we're actually going to put the basement into use, or just a little bit after the first of the year. And more announcements will come with that. But there are some other things already in the planning for the beginning of the year that'll be great that we're going to get to use it for. But for right now, today, after the main meeting here, about 5 minutes after, Anybody that would like to go and see the basement, I and Jesse Thomas will be taking people on a tour through and show you guys what's down there. So that's what we're going to be doing right after the meeting. Anybody that would like to can meet by that rope in the back there, and we'll take you guys down. And if you can't use the stairs, we can use the lift, but just talk with me. All right, so.
The lifts. You've been to England?
Oh, sorry, the elevator, yes. yeah, so that's what we're doing. And thank you all for everybody that has helped and for all of your prayers in getting this project done. So
wonderful. Thanks, Brian. Yeah. In case you remember what that basement used to look like and you think, well, what do we need a tour for? When you see it, you'll realize what we need a tour for. It's never ending. It's in some kind of vortex. You just walk and walk and walk and walk. And yet it looks bigger than it used to. I don't know how they pulled this off, but you will want somebody to show you around. There's so much to look at down there. And so if there's 100 of you that want to look at it today, well, be patient with our men and they'll take you through, because they want to show you everything. They're proud of all the detail down there and how it's going to bless our folks. And you know, I wanted to bring up, as Brian shared, you know, God has blessed us tremendously in the material realm that we could do something like that. And a big part of that is because many of you support this church the way you do. I'm fully convinced that you know, I know from the scriptures and I know from experience, as long as we're doing our best to teach God's word purely and cleanly without any personal agendas, he's going to bless what we're doing here. However, when we have Christians like you who choose to support it on a regular, faithful basis, there's a lot more that we can do, and there's more that we can plan for, like finishing a basement. And I wanted to bring that up before we receive the abundant sharing, because periodically I like to remind you that we don't beg for your resources, we don't beg for your abundant sharing. I'm not making an appeal for it now. It's mostly to thank those of you who do give. However, it is incumbent upon us periodically to remind people that, you know, according to God's word, it's something we're still supposed to do. I've met Christians who say, well, that went out with the Old Testament. If it did, how do we pay for the lights here? You know, angels come in and drop off dollar bills. No, obviously, it didn't go out, and much of what God has to say about giving did not go out with the Old Testament. There's no law to be unrighteous under, thank God, but God still likes it when we give. And yet, God doesn't like anything, God doesn't approve of anything in his word that's done out of a sense of obligation or a sense of legislation. And that's why, please, when we receive the abundant sharing this morning, if you don't want to give, don't. However, if your life has been touched by what we do in this church and it means something to you, then if you haven't been supporting it, you know, you should. If it's something God's working in and something God has blessed you with, well, the God who's blessed you and the God who's helped you and the God who's delivered you, is he not going to supply your need in the financial realm? Of course he is. And you can enter into the joy of that relationship with the Father that many of you understand, that as someone said once, you can't outgive God. And over the years, many of us have seen, as we've expanded our limits of giving, we still can't outgive God. Even when you really put him to the test, and, well, I'm going to give X amount, God still supplies our needs because he made that promise. And it's a real joy for us as his sons and daughters to challenge him in that way, prove him in that way, and see how faithful he is, still taking care of us when everything around us and everyone around us is saying, hey, you can't afford it, you need every penny of that. God says give. And like so many other things in God's word, the counsel of God and the counsel of the world don't align, right? But like other things in God's word, many of us have chosen to walk out on that limb and say, okay, I'm going to try God's promise for a change. And he has been faithful. So when it comes to giving, we encourage all of God's people to give. Where you do that, how you do that, that's between you and your Heavenly Father. But I know many of you understand what we're endeavoring to build here. You've been touched by it. in that case, then please do give. If you're a visitor here or you don't really know whether this is the church that you agree with or want to be a part of, or are already committed elsewhere, by no means feel obliged, is my whole point. Many times people feel when that container goes around that they're being scrutinized, okay? We don't have cameras up there or anything, so do what you do, but do it from the heart, okay? That's my point. I'm using a lot of words to make a very simple point. But it is because of your giving that we can do things like that basement. And I do want to thank you for that, because when you see it, you'll be really blessed when you see what we've been able to do to further bless God's people. And I think bless us all in years to come as well. So, Tim, will you stand and pray, please, for the money here?
Father, thank you so much for how you take care of us, how you promise to supply our every need. Help us, Father, to begin to trust you more in every area of our life. Help us, Father, to make you our life and not just make you part of our life. Because this new life you gave us is wonderful, it's great, it's fantastic, it's magnificent, because you are God Almighty. And you've created your seed within each of us who are born again. And we can walk and talk as your son did. So help us, Father, to realize that our hearts need to be turned to you, and our mouths need to speak the truth. And I thank you, because of our Lord Jesus, we can come to you with our requests and know they're taken care of. Amen.
Special guest teacher coming up today, and that's my wife Kathy, is going to be teaching God's word. I can vouch for her. She's been teaching me stuff for a lot of years, so 37 plus years, and I'm still learning, so you will today as well. But before she comes up, let's sing number 33, "He Bore It on the Cross for Me."
Thank you. Well, God bless you. It's great to see your smiling faces. You're closer. It's nice without the tables for a change. I want to thank Tom for the privilege of teaching God's Word today. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah 41. We're going to start in the Old Testament today a little bit. You know, God declares in His Word that He is the God of all grace. We heard a little bit about that in manifestations. You know, His resources, His power, His love, His mercy, His grace has always been extended to His people. You know, many times His people didn't desire His help. But when His people are humble to Him, He is able to help them. He is able to strengthen them. He is able to teach them. He is able to be the God that He wants to be for them. And Isaiah 41 is a great declaration. You're all there. I'm not yet. This time in Israel was a pretty unsettling time for God's people. A lot of the nations were endeavoring to kill them, to destroy them, to utterly destroy them. And God's people were afraid at times. And here's God's declaration in chapter 41, verse 10. He says to them, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." He says, don't be afraid, because I'm with you. You know, don't be dismayed. Don't look around other places for help, you know, for I'm your God. Where else do you need to look? You know, don't be bewildered by the circumstances. Look to me. I'm your God. Then He declares that He will strengthen them, that He will help them, that He will hold them up with His right hand of righteousness. That's our God. Look back in the previous chapter, chapter 40. You could read the whole chapter, but we're going to start. Let's start down in verse 12. He's speaking of Himself. "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, and melted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance?" Any of you done that lately? No. Just keep in mind, this is who I am, people. "Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor hath taught Him?" You know, with whom took He counsel? "And who instructed Him and taught Him in the path of judgment, and taught Him the knowledge and showed Him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt fire. All nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted to Him less than nothing and vanity." See, He's telling God's people, okay, you know, this is who I am, and all the nations are like nothing to me. What are you afraid of, you know? I'm this big, mighty God. There's no one like me. There's no need to be afraid. Verse 18. "To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto Him?" Who's like me? These are answers you don't really have to answer, right? He thinks... He's already told you what the answer is. "The workman melteth the graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver change. That he hath no oblation, chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a golden image that shall not be moved." Speaking of man making idols, basically. The ESV reads these verses read, "A craftsman casts an idol, a metalsmith overlays it with gold and forges silver chains for it. To make a contribution, one selects wood that will not rot. He then seeks a skilled craftsman to make an idol that will not fall over." He's kind of, okay, this is what man does. He goes and he makes these idols, tries to make them really good so they won't fall over. And then he says, He's just so wonderful in his words here. Have you not heard? Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. I'm this big. Do you realize this, folks? Have you not heard? Have you not known? This is who I am. And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain. You know, I go in my sunroom and I open the curtain. Well, God's curtain, he stretches out the heavens like a curtain. I think, okay, I'm going to open the curtains today. It's on a much bigger scale. The point, get it? You know, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. There's your enemies. It's really tough for God to take care of them for you. And the whirlwind shall take them away as a stubble. Those of you that are listening, I'm blowing, if you couldn't tell that. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? There's no one like him, is there? There's no one like our God that is that mighty, that is that wonderful. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. You know, look at the stars. He calls them by name. Can you do that? I can't even count them all. You know, point being, God's bigger, right? God's greater. He's amazing. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from God? God doesn't see me. Poor me. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You know, God chose the nation of Israel to be his people, the ones he would work with, the ones he would bless, the ones he would help, the ones he would do this for, the ones he would entrust his word, the oracles of God with. You know, and why did he choose Israel? Because they were so good? Because they were just the best, the cream of the crop? No, it says in Deuteronomy 7, you don't have to turn there, but if you want to write it down, in verses 7 and 8, it says, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you. And it goes on. He loved them. That's why he chose them. Their greatness had nothing to do with it. What they brought to the table didn't determine what God could do for them. He didn't continue to help them because they always walked perfectly or believed everything he told them. There's record after record to testify that they didn't always trust God, that they didn't always believe what he said. You know, there are so many records in the Old Testament of God delivering his people, not because of their merit, but because he loved them. In fact, many times he delivers them in spite of them. you know, it's often in spite of their wrong actions. Yet when they turn to God, he's able to help them. He's able to deliver them. You know, think about it. I mean, you could start going. Let's start with Adam and Eve. So they blatantly disobey God. And yeah, they lose spirit. There is a consequence for that. But then what does God turn around and do? He promises the Redeemer to them. Well, they deserve that. Really? No. Move on. Pick a guy. how about Noah? It says Noah found grace in the sight of God. But here's what God says. You can turn there if you want, but you don't have to. Genesis 6, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he'd even made man." And then a few verses later it says, "But Noah found grace." So Noah and all his family are saved from the flood. He deserved it. And Noah's in this part. Noah's in here too. God saw the wickedness of man. Noah's one of those men. Maybe he's one who looked to God. I don't know the details of that. But I do know that no man was deserving of God's grace. You know, Abraham. Remember Abraham? God promised that he would be the father of many nations. And years pass and it hasn't happened. So he and his wife figure out, well, I'll go and sleep with your handmaiden. And that'll get me the son that God's promised. Figured out a better solution. So then, years later, God tells him he's going to bear a son that's going to be the promise. You know, he's going to fulfill that promise he made to him, that he'll be the father of many nations through this son. So was Abraham deserving of that? You know, if I'd been God, and I promised to give you something, and you decided, I'm tired of waiting for you to give me that, I'm going to go get my own thing, I might not give you it. I might go find someone else. But I'm not God. It's a good thing. His grace is wonderful. How about David? The word declares that he was a man after God's own heart. But I remember reading in scriptures, and you probably do too, of a time when he saw this woman and he really liked her. So he decided he would sleep with her, even though she was married to someone else. And then he has her husband killed because she gets pregnant, and he has her husband killed so no one will, you know. Then Psalm 51 records David's heart when he repents and turns to God and asks him to help him, to forgive him, to give him a new heart so we can live for him again. Beautiful psalm if you want to read it sometime, 51. And God forgives him. Did he deserve that? No, but God still helped him and strengthened him time after time to where he was a man that really was after God's own heart, that did amazing things for God. Hezekiah. Isaiah comes to him and tells him he's going to die. And Hezekiah turns to God and, I don't want to die, you know. He prays to God. He cries out to God. And God tells him, you're going to live 15 more years. And he says, cool, thanks, God. No, he says, can I have a sign that you heal me? Did he deserve a sign? He didn't deserve to live as far as from God, you know. But God gives him a sign. He turns the sundial back 10 degrees. Because that doesn't happen normally, okay? And then Hezekiah does live 15 years. The Psalms record 15 Psalms. They're called Songs of Degrees. Those are songs that Hezekiah wrote in response to what God did for him. I wrote down which ones they are if you want to look them up. I thought we'd read all of them today. No, we're not. Psalms 120 to 134. It says right in the title, Songs of Degrees. And that's what it's referring to. You know, did Hezekiah deserve that? No. You know, we could continue going throughout the Old Testament and see individual after individual, the nation of Israel, you know, Moses, and all that God did for the children of Israel to deliver them. And we know they always walked perfectly. They always just did what God wanted. No, there's record after record of maybe where they didn't do the right stuff, maybe where they rebelled, even where they worshiped an idol. And yet God still helped. God still delivered. They weren't deserving of that. Yet this is the God that we serve and love, the God of all grace. And keep in mind, these were his servants. Okay? You and I, those who have believed on Jesus Christ, are now his what? Sons. You know, in spite of man's stupidity, rebelliousness, his forgetfulness, God was still able to bless them. What about us? God has not changed. He is still a God of great love and compassion. He is still the God of all grace to his people. You know, he didn't invite us to be his children. He didn't invite the world to believe on his son and become sons of the Almighty God because we were so deserving, right? We don't have to turn there. I'm quoting a lot of verses. We'll go to some. We'll read some too. But Romans 5 kind of lays that out pretty clearly that we were, who can remember? Enemies, sinners, ungodly. Yeah. I think there's another one. Let me see. I wrote them down too. Because when you're up here, sometimes you kind of forget. Without strength, unrighteous, ungodly, enemies of God. And yet that's who he chose to show his love to. People not deserving of his love, not worthy of his love, yet he loved. And he gave the Messiah so man could be brought back to him so that we could become his sons. Deserving of eternal life? Not me. Loved? I got that one. You know, Ephesians 2:8 declares that we've been saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. And most Christians would agree with that. That's not one that's usually up for theological dispute. It's very clear in God's word that man didn't do anything to deserve God's grace, to deserve a Messiah, but because of his grace, we've been saved. But God's word speaks further about grace after we're saved. It says we're to be strong in the grace. It says the believer is to grow in grace. It says the believer is to stand in grace. It says that that's grace of God is what teaches us how to live godly in an ungodly world. Grace is still supposed to be a part of where we stand, where we breathe. We are not deserving of what a loving God has done for us, and we will never be deserving by our flesh of all he continues to do for us. You know, and in theory, we might even understand that everything's by grace. I got that. I understand that. But in practice, many times, we neglect the grace of God up here and in here. You know, far too much focus is put upon what I do or what I haven't done. Because face it, we look at this loving God, we get born again, we believe on his son, and we want to live for him. We read in the book of Acts of the amazing way they lived, and we want to live for that. And then there's the day where we fall short. And that becomes the focus sometimes, and we try to correct it by the works of the flesh instead of being on bended knee before our God. Okay, it's by your grace. I've been called. Help me. I thought I knew what I was doing here. I guess I don't. You know, in the Old Testament, many times God's hands were tied because his people wouldn't look to him. They wouldn't trust him. They wouldn't go to him for help. Sometimes they died because of that. He couldn't work with them the way he really wanted to work. You know, in Christ, it's a whole new ballgame. Your works really do not add to God's ability to help you. In Christ, the sin problem has been dealt with once and for all. John 1 speaks of true grace, full grace. Grace as God intended, coming with Jesus Christ. You and I are the recipients of that. It's a different kind of grace than was in the Old Testament. Still the same God of all grace, but this is now God is able to display, to show the fullness of his grace as he's always wanted to with man. Because of Christ, God's right hand of blessing is never hindered. We heard about it in manifestations. We heard, sang about it, you know. We have access to God always. Nothing can ever separate us from God. And in practice, we need to remember that up here. I can know those words, but do I live on the days when I'm not doing so good as though I am separate? That's on me, not on him. Regarding this full grace, I wanted to read a quote from this book, Holding Fast the Faithful Word. which is in our bookstore. I'm not doing a plug for the bookstore, but if you haven't read it, it's a great little study in God's Word. There's a chapter called The Grace That Is Given to Us. And at the end of that chapter, it says, yes, grace is much more than something which I take out and blow the dust off on days when I don't feel like I've lived up to the feeble standards which man sets for himself. Indeed, even my best days are not so good that they place me beyond the need of God's grace. Even man at his best. But praise God, neither are my worst days so bad that they can place me beyond the reach of God's grace. We are never beyond that now because of Christ, not because of anything we did. God is able to now work with us in a whole new way. We're never beyond his love and his help. But for some reason, many Christians believe that they're saved by grace, but forget this grace when it comes to the day-to-day relationship with God. God saved me, but now it's up to me to believe his word. If I'm going to receive his blessings, I got to believe his word. If I'm going to receive healing, I got to believe his word. It's true, we do need to believe his word. But there's this wonderful relationship with a living God that by his grace, even when I'm not trusting him in a certain area, he still wants to help me. He promises to teach me and show me how to walk in his ways. Isn't that amazing? You're not on your own. But many times we do, you understand, we kind of make that disconnect sometimes where we leave him out of the picture. We realize, oops, I fell short because obviously the fruit isn't there. I tried to speak in tongues and I didn't. Woe me. I guess I got to try harder. No, how about going to God, the one who gave you his spirit and wants to teach you how to live and walk in a new way? Think he might be able to help you? Yeah. I don't mean to be sarcastic. It's not really a sarcastic thing. But we can be stupid sometimes in our brain, you know? We didn't earn eternal life or anything else that God has made us to be in Christ. It's not because of anything we did except believe on his son. We don't earn healing or peace or love or joy because we believe his word. It's still by grace. Yeah, we do need to believe his word. But it's all by grace. Do you understand? It's not a work that you do. Yeah, it talks about believing being a work. I understand that. But what we get as a result of believing his word is because God is so big, his word is so amazing, and amazing things happen when people turn to a living God who is as great as we read about and believe his word. Then he's able to do amazing things for his people. We can never measure up in our flesh to be holy enough for this God. But in Christ, you and I are the righteousness of God in him. We have to remember that was paid for on the cross and stand in that. Because when we look at our flesh, we look at our shortcomings, we can forget that. I stand before a righteous God, holy, because of my Lord. It's on the cross. Now, if you look at my life, doesn't look quite so holy all the time. But we're to stand in that grace. We're to stand in what we now are in him. And if we don't, we're crippled in a sense. We can know what his word says, but I don't see the evidence in my life. Because I'm trying to do it by myself. And that's not the way God intended it. He made you his son. He calls himself our father. Yesterday we had a memorial for our beloved brother, and some of his children were sharing things that their dad did for them, you know. Helped taught them how to ride a bike and different things that, you know, taught them that they could trust in this living God. God is our Father. He wants to teach us things. He wants to show us things. Are we letting him? Are we remembering that there's this connection to this living God who is amazing, who's full of grace, full of mercy, full of power, full of strength, full of wisdom that he wants to impart to his children? He wants to show you how to do it right. You know, maybe you're afraid to speak God's word. Okay, then just don't. No, how about going to God, who's called you to be able to speak his word? He's entrusted his word to you, and say, help me. You know, when you look in the book of Acts, there's many prayers where they were in trouble and they prayed to this living God and he delivered them. They got in situations where they were afraid. Oh, they're not believing the word. They're afraid. And they just condemned themselves and did nothing. They prayed to God for more boldness to be able to speak. They went. There's a real amazing connection to this God throughout the book of Acts. And they didn't have his written word. They walked in the Spirit like man has never seen. And they didn't have the Bible that you and I have. That amazes me. How did they figure that out? They just figured it out on their own. No, they had this connection. They had this Spirit of God, and they went to this living God who taught them how to walk in a whole new way. You think he might want to help us? I know I fall short. I know there's times I want to walk with the power and the authorities of mine, that's mine, and I get scared and I back down. And I give up. No, let's go to God. Okay, God, I know I shouldn't have done that, but help me, teach me, show me your ways that I might live for you the way you've called me to live. You're not doing this on our own. When we try to do it on our own, we fail. We need the God of all grace to be our loving Father, to teach us, to take us by the hand and to show us, you know. But if we don't turn to him and allow him to do that for us, he is somewhat limited with what he can do. He still will never be separated him forever. That can't ever happen. Nothing can ever separate us again. But in practice, I may be denying myself his help, his wisdom, his power, his strength. And how that must hurt the heart of God, grieve the Spirit of God, like it talks about in his word. He's our Father. He loves us. He's the same God he was in the Old Testament. I want to go back to the Old Testament a little bit with you. Let me catch up on my notes here. You know, his word declares that it's not in man to direct his own way, that his thoughts and ways are higher than mine. So why do I think that I've got to figure this out on my own? I know from his word I'm not going to be able to. So why not seek this living God to teach me and show me his word? Teach me and show me his ways, his thoughts. Teach me and show me what do I do now that I'm your son? How do I live this way? Turn to Psalm 25, please. We are going to read some verses. Sorry if I rambled there, but Psalm 25. Verse 1 says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. So obviously we're not going to read the whole psalm. There's something going on. His enemies are trying to triumph, triumph over him. What does he choose to do? He lifts up his soul to God and says, I'm going to trust in you. Verse 4, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. He asks God to show him, to teach him, to lead me in thy truth, verse 5, and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation, on thee do I wait all the day. Go down to verse 8, good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. See, we get in. Saved by grace, but we are still sinners. And that doesn't mean God will work with sinners. That's what he's chosen to do. He is very aware of the frailty of man. He is very aware of our shortcomings. He's very aware of you. And maybe where you get discouraged. Maybe I'm not. Maybe the person next to you isn't. But God knows you. He can teach you. He can teach you, the sinner, in the way you should go. He can teach you how to live for him. That's just a beautiful verse to me, you know. He doesn't just work with those that are believing his word perfectly. Because you know what? If that were the case, we'd be kind of messed up. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. You know, the meek, the humble. You know, do I think I've got it figured out on my own? Wait till you fall flat on your face, then decide to turn to... How about just deciding, I know from his word, I can't do it on my own. I'm going to be humble to this living God. Verse 11, for thy name's sake... I skipped a verse, didn't I? All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O God, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that fear... Now, you know, I know in Christ we've been forgiven for all, but there's days sometimes what I have done wrong is kind of big in my head. I kind of have to pour my hat out to God. God, I'm sorry I blew it. I'm sorry I didn't do what you said. I'm sorry I got scared and backed down. Thanks for the forgiveness I have in Christ. I mean, still the heart to go to this God in that with that kind of honesty. We don't have to pretend we've got it all together before God. He knows we don't, you know. We're not two-year-olds. I do it. I can do whatever you... I can do it, you know. They think they can do everything, and they're two, and they fall flat on their face. You know, I can tie my shoe, and then they tie it in knots, you know. We're kind of like that sometimes. No. Let's let God be our God and help us. Verse 12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. You know, look at God did for these people who were his servants. You know, he taught them, you know. Will he do less for his sons? Yet in practice, we sometimes neglect to go to him and expect that he'll work and teach us how to trust him, how to believe his word more, you know. But that's when we need to go to him. If I'm having trouble believing an area of God's word, I go to the source who gave the word and say, help me to believe this. Teach me what I need to know so I can trust you more. I can believe what your word says. He'll do it. If he'll do it for a servant, he'll certainly do it for his sons. Turn to Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, if I'm weak or afraid... God, I'm weak and afraid. Help me. And his word declares that he would strengthen his servant. Won't he do that for me? Won't he do that for you, his beloved sons, who are righteous and holy in his sight because of Christ? Turn to Psalm 34. We're not going to read all the Psalms. I just picked out a few verses that there's a lot more that I'm not going to look at with you. Psalm 34, it says... I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Those are easy words to read. But for this psalmist, was everything always going great in his life? No, but he made a decision. I'm going to praise him at all times. No matter what we're faced with in life, no matter what challenges we have, can we always still praise this amazing God? Yeah, we need to. It's good to remember what a good God we have, what an amazing God we have, even in the midst of challenges. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Once again, if I'm afraid, where do I go? I've got, well, I'm not believing his word. I just got to believe his word, you stupid idiot. Just believe his word. You know, you don't have to be afraid. Believe his word. That's sometimes kind of how we deal with it. We focus on what we're not doing and how we know we should be doing it because we know some great verses in God's word and we're not believing them. You're not in this alone. I can't say it enough. We are not in this alone. We have a God who wants to help his people. Are we going to let him? That's our choice. Are we going to allow this God of all creation to teach us his thoughts, his ways, because he wants to? Are we going to allow him to teach us what it means to walk in the Spirit, to walk with power and authority and deliver the nations of the world, in a sense? Are we going to walk like that? Are we going to just look at ourselves and condemn ourselves because we don't believe his word in this certain area? No, how about going to this God and letting him teach us? letting him help us. He wants to do that. He wants to be the same God he was in the Old Testament to his people if we'll be humble enough to look to him. We don't have it figured out. We never will. We need God. We have his word, and it's great. Memorize all the verses you can, but sometimes we run into challenges because we're people and we fall short. We need this living God. Even when we're not having challenges like that, you know, even on our good days, we still need this grace of God. We need his help. This guy looked to him when he was afraid, and God delivered him from all his fears. Will he do less for you, his son? Is there an area of life when you read God's word that you draw back from? I'm going to let the other guy do that. That's just heal somebody? That's just a little bit beyond my ability. Of course it is. Remember we heard last week, not by my holiness or by my might. Did they heal the guy? Nothing to do with my ability, but what God's given me in Christ. Boy, his ability. If we all pull back because the circumstances look too scary, who's going to do the healing? Who's going to cast out the devil spirits from a person who is just having their life wrecked by them? We have been equipped and given the authority to do so much for God in this world. But if we draw back when we're afraid, instead of being honest with God and saying, I'm afraid, teach me and help me. Show me how to do this for you. I remember the first time someone asked me to heal them. Oh, I was scared to death. And I called somebody else that I knew how to do it. And I said, I haven't been taught about this, so can you do it? And they went, no, you got the Spirit of God, you do it. And I went, no, you come and do it, please, you know. And I was scared to death. I really, you know, I love this person. I want them healed. And they're coming to me to heal them. I am just a person. I cannot do that. Come on, folks. God gave us his Spirit for a reason. If we draw back because of fear and don't walk out with that of power and authority, if we don't look to God to help us to do this, who's going to do it? You know? He's called you to be his son. He gave his only beloved son so you could be his dear child, so that you could walk with his power, with his love, with his authority in this world. Yeah, that's scary. But boy, praise God, we got a God right there holding our hand to help us and to teach us and to show us. The person did get healed, by the way. God is faithful. I didn't run the other way. I did for a while. So God said, forget it. I'm not working with her. She's on her own. No. He's the God of all grace, and it's a good thing because none of us would do anything for him otherwise. We know how frail we are. Where'd we leave off? Verse 5. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. He delivered him from his fears. He looked to him and he was lightened. You know? God heard him and he saved him. He will do no less for his sons. Verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What a beautiful record. Men were blessed when they trusted in God. So can we be. There was no want to them. They look to God and he provided. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry. We sang about, we are never beyond God hearing our prayer, are we? Because of Christ, his ear is always open to his children. Many times there's nothing coming in that ear. You understand? There's no one crying to this God. That should be you and I. Help me, teach me, show me. Even if you're having a great day, even if you're not having real challenges right now, maybe you're not sick and want healing. Maybe you aren't in that case. But I know from his word we all want to grow. We all want to do more for our God. And sometimes we're afraid to. Verse 17, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Will he do less for you? The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and such saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. See, you know, a contrite spirit, humility. We have to be humble to this great God for him to do some things. He's never going to leave us, we know that, but if I don't turn to him and ask him for help, he's limited somewhat. He still is amazing. He'll still work and send Mike over here to speak the word to where I, even when my head's not in the right place, he still can work sometimes, but how much more could he do if I were humble right from the get-go? Psalm 37, it shouldn't have to be that I reach this low place of devastation in my life before I turn to him. He's our God all the time. He wants to help us all the time. Psalm 37, we'll just read a couple more here. Down in verse 39, it says, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. 40. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. He was their strength in time of trouble. Is he yours? He can be. He wants to be. He gave his son so he could be all the time. You know, they trusted God and he helped them and he delivered them. We can trust in God and he can help us and deliver us. I was talking to someone who was having trouble believing what God's word declared about their ability to operate the manifestations, to heal someone, to cast out devil spirits. And they were, I guess I just don't trust God. Okay, I got to argue with this just a little bit. Can I be looking to God to help and teach me? Can I be trusting in a living God and not believe a portion of his word somewhere? There's a difference. Where do I turn my face when I see I fall short? I trust in a living God. I stand here. I stand in grace. I'm yours. Teach me. Help me. Show me your ways. I'm afraid. Teach me. Help me. I'm trusting in a living God. And then he's able to help me. You know, there's another psalm that says, trust in God at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. Well, how can I trust in God at all times if I'm not really trusting him when I'm not? But we can get so complicated in the way we look at this. He's our Father. He wants to help us all the time. It's not based upon our works, upon our merit, upon us believing his word. This is where he is. He doesn't move. He's waiting to help his people. He's waiting to instruct, to teach, and to guide us, to strengthen us, to be the God that he declares in his word. I fall short in areas. He knows that. He wants to help me anyways. Isn't that great? Yeah, it's great. Boy, what a great God. Turn to Psalm 41. I have to read this one because I saw something when I looked at some other versions that I've never seen. I was sharing with my prayer group and I think with the Mom Fellowship that I don't think I ever read this psalm, but I know I have read the psalms many times. But we're going to read Psalm 41, verse 1. Blessed is he that considereth the poor, the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in sickness. This is the one I went, what? What does this mean? He's going to strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. And he will make all his bed. He's going to make my bed for me in sickness. So I looked at other versions, and they all pretty much agree. I'm going to read it to you in the NIV. It says, the Lord will sustain him on his sick bed and restore him from his bed of illness. I thought, man, that's so... I know in Christ we've been healed. But sometimes I've been on my sick bed, and God leaves me alone then because I'm not believing his word. No, but in practice, sometimes that's what we do in our heads. We are not on our own at any time. When we're believing his word and walking joyously, when we're on our sick bed, perhaps afraid of dying, he doesn't leave us. He's our God. We turn to him, and he's able to restore and to help. There is no situation where he is not able to do that for his children. You know, if the Lord tarries, some of us are going to die. Do you ever think about that? Some of you probably more than others. If you're 15, it maybe hasn't really occurred to you when you get up a little bit more or when you work with people. So because you're not trusting his word and not believing his word to be healed, then he leaves you alone. No. Nothing can separate us, neither death nor life. I don't care what situation we're in, we can turn to our God and he will be there for us. He will teach us. He will instruct us. Maybe there'll be a Hezekiah moment where we turn to him and he shows us and we live 50. I don't know. That's up to God. But if I don't turn to him, if I stop his hand from helping me, I'm miserable while I'm going through things. But his hand is never shortened from helping his people that turn to him. He's never hindered. Because of Christ, we stand as holy ones and we can have his help. He can even help you when you're sick. You know? When we're not believing his word in any area, he can help us. He can teach us. He can show us. He can guide us. We turn to him and we trust him to do that. I have a few more here, but Psalm 46 talks about he's a very present help. He's always there in time of trouble. That was for the Old Testament guy. What about you and me? He's always there. We're not turning there, you know. Psalm 56, when I'm afraid, I'm going to trust in you, you know. There's a song, a Christian song out there, and I think probably it's in light of the sovereignty of God and some wrong thinking about that, that when I pray and I don't get my answer, I'm going to trust in you. You know, when things are going bad, I'm going to trust in you. When things are going good, I'm going to trust in you because you're God. And, you know, but I listen to it and I go, yeah, it doesn't really matter what's going on. I will trust in you. You know, I will praise God all the days of my life. It's not contingent upon what's going on in my life or your life. We can do that. We can turn to a living God. We can trust him. And I can't say it enough. He did that for servants. Will he do that for his children? Absolutely. You know, I'm not going to go to all the verses in the New Testament. We could be here all day, but there's so many places where God's people are falling short, and he sends someone to speak words of life for them to believe, to help them in the situation where he, in this one body, works to send someone with a grace-given gift to help you, to establish you in his ways, to strengthen you. You know, in this time in which we live, we have so much more available. We have his written word. I can be reading his word and get my answer because the Spirit's at work and God wants to teach me. I can be sitting in fellowship and Brian speaks God's word to me and it's the word I need to hear. I can be, you know, we have so much more. We have his word. We have his spirit within that wants to lead and guide and direct us. And it says God's working in me to will and to do, of, you know, all those things we've heard about, that the spirit will lead us. It will guide us. It will direct us into all truth. We're placed in a body where we have one another to love and to help us. We have a Lord that saved us and is the head of this body. We have God, the God of all grace, that is our Father. He's our Father. He's not just a God to us. He's our Father. We have so much more than they had. Nothing can ever separate us. Nothing can ever withhold his goodness from us anymore. Because of Christ, we stand in that grace. Here I am, unworthy, but worthy because of him. Unrighteous, but righteous in him. And we stand in that up here and in here. And then God can teach us more about that. We can grow in that grace. We can be strong in that grace. We can stand in that grace. You know, he sent believers to perfect that which was lacking in their believing. He'll do that for you and me. You know, we have so much more. I want to close. We're going to go back to Isaiah. Let's turn to this living God who is the same God he was in the Old Testament. He's our Father, and he desires to help us, to teach us, to strengthen us, to encourage us. There's a psalm I didn't go to. It talks about, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Sometimes I may be so discouraged with where I'm at in trying to live for Him. I just got to turn to Him. Okay, maybe I can't quite get to this point, but show me the next step. Let me get to the next step that's higher than me, and then maybe I can get to the next step, and maybe I can get to the next step, and maybe tomorrow I'll believe His word in this area. See, we go to Him and He will help us. He will lead us. He will strengthen us. What a great God we have. There's no one like Him. Isaiah 41, where we opened up. I think we sing this almost every week in our mom fellowship. It's a great reminder. Verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. There's no one like our God. He's the same God today as He was then. We don't need to be afraid of anything or anybody. We have one with us who's mightier. We don't have to anxiously look around for help somewhere else. We have God, who is our Father, who will help us. He will help us today. He's holding us by His right hand today. He will strengthen us today. I'm going to pray with you, okay? Heavenly Father, You are such an amazing God. You look at the frailty of man and love us anyways. You declare in Your word that You are the God of all grace, and boy, we need it, Father. We know how we fall short time and time again, but You and Your great love desire to help us, to strengthen us, to encourage us, to bless us. Not because we deserve it, but because You're God and because of what our Lord did for us. Help us, Father, to really stand in that grace, to be strong in the grace, to really allow You to be the God that You desire to be for Your people, that You did all that You did in Christ so that You could be this God and Father to us. Help us to turn our hearts to You humbly day by day, to be strengthened day by day, to live another day for You. And Father, I pray for each heart in here and for just working things where, boy, we can see You evident in our lives and in the lives of the world, Father, as we stand for You in this day and time. And we praise You and thank You for Your great goodness and grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, let's sing number 133. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? You're right. No. He can do what no other power can do, right? Let's sing it twice just so we don't forget it, all right? Let's go. Wonderful. Well, God bless. Thanks for coming, and stick around if you can. All right? God bless you.